Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
Move towards our teaching time, and then in a few minutes we're going to light some candles, and I'll let you get on your way to do whatever you do on Christmas Eve, whether it's have some food, exchange gifts, whatever it may be. But I want to invite you, if you have your worship guide there, to pull out the notes that are inside of there that you can follow along with. And as you do that, I want to tell you a little story. There's a boy named Johnny. Johnny was a little Italian boy, and one Christmas, Johnny was so excited because he wanted a bicycle for Christmas. And so Johnny, he went to his mama and he said, "Mama, I want a bicycle for Christmas." You like my Italian accent? He said, "Mama, I want a bicycle for Christmas." And she said, "Oh, Johnny, I don't know if you've been a very good boy this year." And so she said, "You better write a letter to baby Jesus and ask him for a bicycle for Christmas." So he says, "Okay, mama, okay." So he goes to his little bedroom, to his little desk, and he pulls out a pad of paper and a pen, and he starts to write a letter. "Dear baby Jesus, if you bring me a bicycle for Christmas, I'll help my mom with the dishes all year long." He thought about it for a second, crumpled up the piece of paper and threw it in the trash. He said, started to write again, "Dear baby Jesus, if you give me a bicycle for Christmas, I'll clean my room every week this year." No, he didn't like the sound of that either, so he threw that in the trash can and then started to write again. "Dear baby Jesus, if you bring me a bicycle for Christmas, I'll be nice to my sister and I'll share my toys." And he wasn't feeling that one either, so he threw that in the trash. So then he thought for a moment, and all of a sudden, he got a light bulb. He gets up from his desk, and he runs into the living room, and he finds the nativity scene where there's the figurines there, and he grabs the Mary figurine, and he runs back to his room. He shoves the Mary figurine into a sock and then puts it in his drawer. He sits back down at his desk, and he starts to write again. He says, "Dear baby Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, you bring me a bicycle for Christmas." We've been talking over the last number of weeks here at New Life about this whole picture of what you want for Christmas. Our series has been called All I Want for Christmas. And we've been talking about it, though, from a different direction. Because while it's great to desire presents and all those wonderful things, we've been asking the question of God. We've been saying, "God, what do you want from me this Christmas? What is it that you want for me to know? What do you want me to experience? What are the blessings that you want to pour out on my life this Christmas?" And as we've looked at it, we've recognized that God has really made some of those things known through the prophet Isaiah. And so on your notes there, you'll see a verse from Isaiah chapter 9 that's been guiding us through this series. And this prophet Isaiah, 800 years before Jesus was ever born, he brought this message from God to the people. And this message was simple. He said, "Really, this is how I want you to know me. And it's through my son Jesus. And there's really four ways that you're going to come to know me. I want you to know me as the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And so we've talked over the last number of weeks about knowing him as the wonderful counselor and as the mighty God, the one who does great miraculous things in our lives. And we've talked about knowing him last week as the everlasting Father, the one that as we get to know him, we get to connect to his eternal wisdom and his endless love. But tonight I want to talk about knowing him as the Prince of Peace. One thing I've known as I've gotten to work with people now for quite a few years is that no matter who you are, No matter what season of life you're in, it seems like as human beings, we are always on this ongoing quest for peace. That in one way or another, we find ourselves at times, whether it's feeling the need to try to just endure and get through this challenging season that we're in. Maybe for some, it's anxiety that we're feeling. Maybe it's a relational breakdown that we've gone through. Whatever it might be, we find ourselves in different seasons, always on this quest to find peace. To find peace, no matter what's going on around us, to come back to this place of peace. And so, my hope tonight is that wherever you are in your journey with God, whether you are still exploring and haven't yet made that decision to follow Jesus, whether you have come back to following Jesus, or whether you've faithfully followed him for many, many years, my hope is that tonight, in some small way, that you would walk away from this, not only this evening, but from this Christmas, knowing him more and experiencing his peace in a deeper and greater way. It's interesting, this phrase, Prince of Peace, it's really an interesting phrase. The word prince, it means captain or leader. And the word peace has to do with shalom or completeness. And so what God is really saying is, I want you to know me as the one who leads the way that you can experience wholeness and completeness, whatever you're going through. And so here's how Jesus said it in John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said it this way. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." God wants you and I to know a couple of things about him as the Prince of Peace. And if you're taking notes here this evening, let me just give you three things here to write down that you can think about as you continue celebrating during this Christmas season. The first is this, that if you're going to know him as the Prince of Peace, you've got to realize, first of all, that he has given us his peace. He has already given us his peace. And so here's what that means. What that means is you don't have to strive after it. You don't have to strive for it. That's good news that his peace is here. And really, the ability to start connecting to that peace, it's really as simple as one word. Yes. Yes. That it's as simple as saying yes to God. Saying, God, I want to start following you and learning your ways. And that's the beginning of peace. Now, here's what I found is that so many people, the reason they struggle when it comes to peace is that they try to find peace in their own ways. For instance, I found a lot of people think, well, maybe if I do more good deeds, then I'll get peace. Then this anxiety that I'm feeling, or this guilt that I'm wrestling with, or this problem that I'm going through, if I do more good deeds, then I'll feel peace. This gaping hole I feel inside will go away. And yet, I've counseled people through the years, and one after another, that when you are living with that kind of mindset, you'll always come up short. Because doing good things is not the way to get peace in your life. It'll give you warm fuzzies maybe here and there for a moment or for a season. But God's given us instructions for this peace. I remember a number of years ago when we had our three kids were all under the age of like five. So our oldest was around five, five and a half, and then our middle son was around two or three, and our youngest was just a newborn within her first year. And so there, Stacy was going on this women's retreat, and so it was my first time to be alone with all three kids. And so I was trying to play it cool. You know, she's like, "Are you sure you're going to be okay?" And, "Oh, yeah, no problem." She pulled out of the driveway, and I broke into a cold sweat. All of a sudden, I'm looking at these three kids that are looking up at me, you know, and one of them starts to cry, and another one, you know, is running around the house all hyper, and I'm going through this list of things. Okay, I need to put lotion on you, and I've got to get you to this place, and I've got to, what time do you need to go to bed? And I'm starting to get really nervous. Like, I'm going to ruin these kids' lives in one weekend, you know? This is not going to be pretty. And about the time that I, was in a fetal position in the corner, I remembered something. I remembered that my wife, Stacy, had written all the instructions out for the whole weekend, and she put them on the refrigerator. And so I walked into the kitchen and found that list, and it was like the Ten Commandments. It was just amazing. It was like a glow of glory was upon this list of instructions. And you know, here's the thing. Those instructions were no good to me till I got them in hand and actually started to follow them. And so in the same way, God has given us instructions for peace. He's given us instructions, and the beginning of these instructions are to recognize that He's given us His presence, to welcome His presence into our lives. Again, it's to say yes to Him and welcome His presence in. Say, God, I want you to be a part of my life. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, He guides us in ways to bring peace. And yet, again, when we try to make peace in our own abilities and our own understanding, it'll never work out. I talk to so many people as well that they have like all these things going on in their life, and if you picture on this half over here, you have all your family stuff, and on this half over here, you have all your work stuff, and then everything else is kind of scattered in there. I talked to a lot of people that are always trying to figure out how to balance it all. It's like they have this fulcrum, and they're going, okay, if I can just find the perfect balance, then I'll have peace. And so they organize, and they strategize, and they do all these things, and they try to get financial security and all these things, and then they get to this place where they think they found that balance, and they go, okay, nobody move. But the problem is, you're laughing because you know that life is always moving and changing. There's always so many things outside of our control. And the beginning of recognizing His presence in our life is recognizing that when you walk with Jesus, He's given us His Holy Spirit and His presence. And so what that means is there's going to be times and seasons along the way where He's going to guide you to say, you need to spend a little time with your family over here. You need to spend a little time with your wife. Or you need to invest some time and season in your business or your ministry or whatever it is. And so He guides us in how we should live. And as we, again, welcome that process, you recognize that really, here's the secret to peace. It's recognizing that peace is a person. That peace is a person. Peace comes through Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. And when you say yes to Him, you're welcoming Him into your life to guide you. And the details, and throughout all the decisions you make, that as you walk with Him, He guides you, and it welcomes your peace, His peace. Here's the second thing to know about the Prince of Peace, though, is that He has set a new standard of giving as well. So not only has He given us His peace, but He's set a new standard of giving. Jesus said, I do not give to you as the world gives. That's what He said in that verse we just read a few moments ago. I do not give to you as the world gives. See, the world gives on a different basis than God does. The world does things from this conditional standpoint. It says, I'll give a little and you give a little, right? If you do this, then I'll do that, and then we'll all get along. And Jesus says, that's not how I do things. Jesus said, you want to know how I give? I give unconditionally. I came and I laid down my life for you. Again, when we often are living our lives, we will often start with the question, what am I going to get out of this? But when Jesus came, He said, what can I give so that you can know God's love? See, it's a different approach to giving. It's unconditional, generous, sacrificial love. And so when we are welcoming Jesus, the Prince of Peace, if you want to know the peace of God in your life, it's saying, God, give me your understanding of how to give. See, I think we have to start asking this question. How am I going to give differently like Jesus gives? Because how you give affects your measure of peace. And your measure of peace again, it's determined. So you can't give what you don't have. I would love to say on the way out of the service tonight, I've got a bag in the back for each of you to take home. It's got $100,000 in it. I would love to do that, but I can't do that because I don't have millions and millions of dollars. You can't give peace if you don't have peace. And the way you have peace is by giving in a new way, by giving in the way that Jesus does. Because here's what happens. When you follow Jesus' example, you surrender your life to God, and you stop trying to hold on to things and hold on to control and everything else. When you say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you, you surrender to him. And what you're saying is, okay, my life is no longer all about me. My life is about you first, God. How can I want to follow you. And as we give our lives to him, then all of a sudden we're not driven by the same things we used to be. We're not driven by how we can get more for us. And it sets us free from the anxiety and everything else, the burdens of this world. So we're able to give differently, and ultimately we're able to give peace to others as well. Here's the third thing to know about Jesus, though, as the Prince of Peace, is that he's released us from fear. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He's called us to rest in him. He's called us to trust in him. See, when you're living in fear, you can't see God in the midst of your situation. When fear is paralyzing you, all you see are the problems right in front of you. Fear is this paralyzing force. And when you don't deal with that fear, when you don't reject that fear, it will keep you from so many great things that God wants to bless you with. When I was in Bible college, being in my training to be a pastor, I went down there not knowing how I was going to pay for it. I didn't have much money, had just a little bit of money I'd saved up through the summer working. And so I showed up, and as I got the bill of what it was, what I needed to pay each semester, I also had this sense in my heart, I felt like God didn't want me to take any loans. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to have to work pretty hard. So I went and I got a job, and then I got another job. And as the semester starts to go on, I'm going, oh man, I don't know how I'm going to make up the financial difference. So I got a third job. So I would wake up at 5 in the morning, and I wouldn't get back to my room till after 11:30 at night. I would go from one job to classes to another job to the other job, back to my room, do homework, and go to bed around 1, wake up at 5, and do it all over again. And after about a month of that, one night, I was in my room whining to God. I'm sure no one else here has ever done that, but I was whining to God. I was going, God, why are you letting this happen? I was tired. I was sick. I was frustrated with people. I had no peace in my life. And as I was there on my floor, I was praying, but really, again, just calling out to God, saying, God, what am I going to do? And now it's getting close to the end of the semester, and I still don't know if I'm going to have enough money. And then if I don't have enough money, I'm not going to be able to go back to school. And there on my room floor, as I called out to God, all of a sudden this whisper came to my heart. And it was like God spoke to me and said, I never asked you to do this. I never asked you to do this. I said, what? He said, do you trust me? I said, yeah. He said, no, do you trust me? I said, yes, Lord, I trust you. And he said, then stand on this promise. The bill is paid. And so a couple weeks later, I still owed $3,000 that I had to pay by the end of that semester. A couple weeks later, I went to my mailbox, and there was an anonymous sum of money, nearly $3,000, almost the exact amount that I owed, was there waiting for me. And every day throughout the rest of my college career, and still on a regular basis to this day, when I'm going through times of feeling that lack of peace, I remember that promise and that call of God. Do you trust me? And see, when I, by the way, one thing I did in there, I went and I quit one of my jobs. And it was funny because I was working less hours and God still made up the difference in my life. And see, I don't know what you're going on, what you're going through right now in your life, where you're lacking peace, but I want you to know this, that when you fix your eyes on Jesus and you put your trust in him, that you'll have this great, incredible opportunity. Sometimes we see problems as mountains, but when you see them as great opportunities to experience God, that's when it changes everything. And see, when you put your trust in Him, it sets you free from fear. Here on this Christmas Eve, God wants us to know Him as the Prince of Peace. And you know, there's something about light. We're going to light candles here in just a moment. In fact, if you want to get your candles in your hands there. Before we light these, I want you to think about yourself. You see, fear has to do with darkness. Fear has to do with darkness. And I want you to picture yourself as though you were in a dark room. And as you're in that dark room, I want you to picture a candle on the other side of that room. And if you're in that dark room and there's a candle all the way over the other side of the room, how are you going to get through the darkness to that candle? You focus on the light, right? So when it comes to overcoming fear, Jesus says, if you will fix your eyes on me, fix your eyes on me. I am the light of the world, and I have set you free from fear. I came to do that for you. So this evening, we're going to get to celebrate the fact that we are free from that fear and that Jesus in His love met us in the midst of whatever we're facing. And I want you to bow your heads with me for a moment. And before we light candles, before we go into all that, I want to just give opportunity here this evening that if there is anyone here tonight that you'd say, Pastor, I've been in a place where I've been longing for peace. I feel like there's been this just huge void in my life. And I recognize that I need God in my life. Whether for some, maybe this is the first time that you've ever really come to this realization that you need God and you want to follow Him. Or maybe for others, you'd say, I've known in the past, but tonight I want to come back to Him. I want to make that decision to put my trust in Him once again. I don't want fear to have any more place in my life. So today I want to simply say yes to Jesus. And right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd be one that would say, that's me, I want to say yes to Him. With every head bowed now, every eye closed, I just want to invite you, if that's you, to lift up your hand so I can pray for you. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand right now? If you're one that would say, I want to say yes to Him. I want to say yes. I want to be free from that fear and that the things that rob me of peace. Yeah, awesome. Anyone else that would say that? Awesome, awesome. Go ahead and put your hands down. Jesus, I thank you for those that have made that decision this evening to put their faith and their confidence in you and to declare their trust in you. I pray that you would meet them where you are, where they are, and Lord, that you would usher in your peace and your love in a mighty way. We thank you for coming to this earth and to bringing light into our darkness. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.